This week, our own Peter O'Dowd is reporting on the crisis of the Colorado River. It is running dangerously low because of drought, climate, overuse. Last year, the federal government warned Western states that they will have to slash their water use, otherwise the country's largest reservoirs could fail. Camille Tutin heads the Bureau of Reclamation at the Interior Department.
The challenges we are seeing today are unlike anything we have seen in our history. The science of the system across the West, and especially in the Colorado River Basin, indicate one of immediate action.
Thing is, there is still hardly any action. About 75% of the Colorado River water goes to agriculture. And now farmers in California and Arizona are fearing the worst. But as Peter reports, those on one side of the border may fare better than those on the other.
You can't ignore the power of water in the desert when it's rushing past you. This canal is swollen with Colorado River water that's been diverted to farms in Yuma, Arizona.
It's everything to what we do. We couldn't grow any of the crops without it.
Amanda Brooks is a fourth-generation farmer who uses river water on 6,000 acres to grow broccoli, dates, and cotton.
Iceberg lettuce, romaine lettuce. We grow some celery and some onions.
You name it, she probably grows it. This area near the U.S.-Mexico border produces 90% of the winter lettuce crop for the entire country.
I think I speak for all farmers in Yuma when I say we're proud of what we do and we love it.
And yet we're standing in front of this canal full of Colorado River water. There's a real crisis on the river. Are you concerned about the future?
Yes. Right now, not everybody's getting along. Not everybody is agreeing on what that solution is. It's scary.
She's talking about the seven states that make up the Colorado River Basin. Last month, six of them sent the government a proposal for sweeping system-wide cuts. But the state that uses the largest share of the river didn't sign it. California came up with its own plan. Without a solution, the reservoirs will keep dropping, and hydrologists say the river could stop flowing past the dam at Lake Mead to Yuma and California within 2 years. That scenario is called Deadpool.
It is really hard to fathom that, but it is something that's on the back of my mind, and I pray every night that we don't get there.
Considering the stakes, Brooks says Yuma farmers are saving everywhere they can. She shows me a broccoli field that's been leveled with lasers to reduce runoff. She also works with a coalition of local irrigation districts that offered to let some fields go dry. They asked the government for $1,500 for every acre foot of water they didn't use.
In general, I think it was received as we were being greedy. But if you know Yuma and you know the crops we grow, $1,500 an acre foot does not make a farmer whole.
Their plan didn't go anywhere, and now farmers like Amanda Brooks have no idea what's next. Economists don't either. George Frisvold at the University of Arizona says a while back he ran a model trying to understand what would happen in the event of an unthinkable shortage on the river.
And we look specifically at what would happen in the Southwest if you took out 2.5 million acre feet. And it really doesn't affect the crops grown in Yuma at all. The veggies stay there. You know, the veggie production is going to be the last thing that's affected because that's the most profitable thing. So people growing other things are going to get hit. If you're growing hay, you're growing sedan grass, you're growing wheat, you're growing cotton, those are the things that are going to go away first.
Did you go up beyond 2.5 million?
No, we didn't, because we did this about 10 years ago, and we thought, oh, you know, you're playing these economic models almost like a video game. It's like, oh, let's crank this up, right? We thought that was like an extreme shock.
What seemed like an extreme shock a decade ago is now essentially inevitable. The Bureau of Reclamation says states must save 2 to 4 million acre feet of water to keep the reservoirs stable. Imagine up to 3 million football fields covered with a foot of water. We're in somewhat uncharted territory.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Getting our RPMs up, re-engaging our GPS.
Yuma farmer Kirk Dunn is aware of the threat. He grows those lower value crops that Frisvold was warning about.
And this is what I do most days if I have my choice. I'm driving in circles getting stuff done in the field.
On a sunny February day, we're squeezed inside the cab of his tractor. Dunn is planting a new type of wheat that requires less water. It's an experiment. He hopes to cut his irrigation by 20% without affecting the harvest.
We're doing as best we can to prove that before we need to do it.
In the meantime, Dunn is frustrated with his neighbors. Just a few miles from here, farmers in California have senior water rights, which means that in times of extreme drought, Arizona suffers first. Cities like Phoenix and Tucson and many of the state's farms lose all their river water before California loses any. Arizona agreed to the deal in the 1960s. Folks around here call it the law of the river.
You know, as much as California and other states like to rely on the law of the river and these historic compacts and their water rights, all of those are going to go out the window here pretty soon, because you can have the best rights to water ever, but if there's no water, then you have a right to nothing.
This tension between states has set the stage for a food fight.
Funnel cakes! Churros!
Just across the state line, the town of Holtville, California, calls itself the carrot capital of the world. Every February, the town throws a parade in honor of its treasured vegetable. Resident Mike Webb was getting ready to join the line of floats in a 1970 El Camino with a pile of carrots stacked on the hood.
They smell good and they taste good, too.
Fresh out of the ground?
Yeah, there's a little dirt still here on this one.
Webb grew up here in the 1960s. He says despite the state's enviable water rights, the fear of running out is real.
You know, you think you're secure, but there's only so much to go around.
How do you think it's going to work out?
I really don't know, but it is a little tough right now being a farmer, I got to tell you. Just a lot of tension, like you said. It's from the unknown, I think.
When we lose our water supply, we move. We don't have a choice.
Tina Shields is a manager at the Imperial Irrigation District, which delivers water to about 500,000 acres in California's Imperial Valley. IID is the largest single water user on the river. It's entitled to 10 times more water than the entire state of Nevada. Shields says the plan from the six other states to save water ignores the priority system laid out in the law of the river. That's because other basin states want to account for downstream evaporation, which would end up leaving California with most of the cuts.
We don't just stop honoring existing agreements, compacts, laws, and legislation because times are a little tough and folks didn't realize they'd be impacted. Nobody said it was going to be easy, but that's the deal.
Does part of you see that it kind of looks bad, I guess, whether it's the right thing or not?
Well, let's look at it from our perspective. Are we supposed to sacrifice our community that's been here for 100 years so the city of Phoenix can continue to grow and build more subdivisions and have more golf courses? I don't think it's fair to take a disadvantaged community with longstanding water rights and expect that we don't have the same value that those folks have. And I understand they have challenges, and it's no one said it's going to be easy, but we want to make sure that we're not sacrificing rural agricultural communities for these large urban areas because they overbuilt.
Shields says at this point, reaching consensus will be difficult. And that is one thing that Wade Noble agrees with.
Good, easy, or promising is just not there. The situation is very tight.
Noble is a lawyer who represents irrigation districts in Yuma, Arizona. He says negotiations are breaking down because California won't back down.
They have the most water. They are willing to drive the bargain hard and make other people give in to them, which may not happen.
Can you blame them? I mean, if you were sitting just a couple miles to the west in California, I mean, isn't that what you would do if you had something as valuable and precious as water?
In a water war, things are going to get ugly. And they have been ugly for a while, but they're going to get worse. That's about what I can say.
What does that mean? What does that look like?
You end up in court. You end up having the courts determine who gets what rights.
Is there time for that? At this point, that could take years. Yes. The Lake Mead is almost empty.
That could take years. Lake Mead could crash, as we call it.
At this point, many people expect the federal government will have to intervene and order the states to make cuts before the reservoirs reach Deadpool. With a sprinkler system hissing and spraying over a 35-acre plot of romaine, Holtville farmer Jack Vesey says he and others are willing to help. The Imperial Irrigation District has volunteered to save 250,000 acre-feet this year as long as the farmers get paid for it.
Our eyes are open. We can't just, you know, put our head in the sand and keep doing the same thing year in and year out, and we don't. And we strive to, as my dad says, to shuck and jive and survive.
But Vesey also wants California to do whatever it can to protect its right to the river. There's too much on the line.
You know, I think of the Grapes of Wrath and the Dust Bowl, right? You know, I see 180,000 people from this valley loading up and moving somewhere. We can't. Our only source of water in the Imperial Valley is the Colorado River. If water does not flow past Lake Mead, this area would dry up and be a desert once again.
Oh, it would destroy everything.
Yeah, I mean, it'd be a ghost town here.
A hypothetical scenario, sure, but one that is creeping closer to reality by the day. For Here and Now, I'm Peter O'Dowd.